Last time, that's right. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Eileen O'Reilly, the 116th president of the National Press Club and the managing editor of Standards and Training at Axios. This is a very big day today, so let's dive right into business. I hope you all had a chance to look over the minutes from our October meeting. First up is Secretary Elisa Parenti.
Thank you, Eileen, and thank you so much for your service over this last year. It's been amazing. I move for general members to approve the minutes of our last meeting, which was in October, which have been posted on the site. Second. Poonam, seconds. Thank you. All those in favor, are there any discussion? Any thoughts? Okay, great. Thank you. And I have received votes of approval through the email, too. So thank you. So everyone in favor of approving the minutes from the October meeting, if you'd raise your hands. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you to Herb for helping out. I had to go to a high school reunion, and I'm not even going to tell you how many years it was. Thank you. The minutes have been approved.
The ayes have it. Yay. Thank you, Elisa. You are an amazing secretary, and I know you're going to be a fantastic treasurer this year. Next, we'll get an update on the current landscape of membership with our membership secretary, Poonam Sharma.
Hi, everyone. I'm Poonam Sharma, founder and editor of Global Stratview, and your membership secretary for the next 30 minutes, after which Mark Sheff will take over. I'm going to give you a quick overview on where club membership stands. As of December 31st, 2023, we have 2,566 members. Year over year, this is exactly where we were in December 2022. Our membership has plateaued at about 2,600 members since the spring of 2021, when we first felt the effects of the pandemic on our membership. 1,318 of those members are journalists. 1,086 of those members are communicators, and 283 members are classified as young members, which make up about 11% of our total membership. Now, December typically marks a month of cleanup for the membership department. The staff work to notify members of any past due membership balances and outstanding house debts. In the first quarter of the year, we typically see a drop-off of anywhere between 100 to 200 members as we go through our annual renewal process. So I encourage you to check your emails and renew your membership for the 2024 calendar year. For those of you who have opted into automatic renewal, thank you in advance. The encouraging news is that throughout the year, we generally see a return of some of these lapsed members as well as new members who join the club. In 2023, we saw 291 new members, out of which 50% of those were young members, which we find very encouraging. We saw new members from the Associated Press, the New York Times, NBC News, Axios, The Hill, The Wall Street Journal, NPR, and Politico, just to name a few. Now, if you have any questions about your membership, the team is more than happy to assist. You can reach out to members@press.org. Thank you for allowing me to serve in this role for the last year. It's been a pleasure. And I'll take any questions. Yes?
Hello, I'm Pat Host. Do we get discounts for people who do a year at a time?
Kate, you want to take that?
Can you just say...
Instead of paying on a monthly basis, if you pay for like a year at a time, do you get a discount?
No. So the annual rate and the monthly rate, the monthly is divided by 12. So it's just spreading those payments out over the course of the year.
Have we thought about doing that?
We have. We've considered it. It's still a topic of discussion. So we readdress those things every year and make considerations and suggestions to the board too. So,
thank you.
Yeah.
Hi, Bob Wiener. Well, that brings up an interesting question. During COVID, we gave a free year. How many people took advantage of that?
About 500 took advantage of that.
Any other questions?
Maybe on the simpler side, on the young member category, are they restricted to journalist categories, or is there also a communicator in the young category?
There's both.
Also.
Oh,
yep.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. And Eileen, it's been a pleasure serving you.
Thank I scrolled down by accident. So thanks, Poonam. You were a wonderful membership secretary this past year, and I know you'll be great as secretary. Besides Poonam, I'd like to take this moment to give a huge thank you to our membership director, Kate Helster, our membership administrator, Alana Sweeting, membership events and program coordinator, Cecily Scott Martin, I got your title right, and our membership committee chair, Carrie O'Reilly. And the whole membership team for their efforts. The whole membership team is really our unsung heroes, so thank you. And we had a mini informal competition on our board to see who could sponsor the greatest number of approved applicants, and it was Poonam this past year, so thanks, Poonam. All right, next up is our club treasurer, Mike Balsamo, to give us the latest provisional numbers.
Thank you, Eileen, and thank you for everything that you've done for the club this year. Looking forward to continuing to work together. Did we lose the... Sorry, technical difficulties. Hang on.
What did you do, Mike?
I broke it.
You didn't break it. I can't get the cursor anymore.
What do you want? Treasures?
Yes.
All right, there we go. Can you work on it?
Yep, that's perfect. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone. I'm Mike Balsamo. I'm the National Law Enforcement Editor for the Associated Press and your club's treasurer, as Poonam said, for about 30 more minutes, and then your vice president-elect. So a couple things that we'll go through here on the agenda, how we're doing since our last general membership meeting, the club's financial position, how we did overall this year, what 2024 looks like, challenges that will remain in the short term, and the question that many people have, has our business returned all the way? And so, how are we doing since our last general membership meeting? Well, we finished the year strong. October was a record month for us with a revenue of over $1.6 million. We exceeded revenue budgeted expectations for each of the last 3 months of the year, and costs have been well controlled despite volatility in areas like payroll and food. That graph there will show you our actual revenue versus budgeted revenue for every month of 2023. You can see that blue bar in a majority of the months there exceeded where we had budgeted. So at the end of quarter four, the club has $4.99 million in cash and investment reserves and $14.1 million in the National Press Club Future Fund for a total of $19 million. As we start to return to pre-pandemic business levels, we're in a generally strong financial position right now, and the club currently holds no debt. So how did we do overall in 2023? It was indeed a challenging year as we continued to push out through the pandemic and worked hard to grow our club's business. But financially, it's been a good year for us with a particularly strong number of events at the end of the year. Our revenue in 2023 was higher than budgeted and exceeded our revenue from last year, but we're still lower than where we were in 2019. So what does that mean in 2024? Our current budget for 2024 shows a good increase in revenue to over $13 million. We're already seeing a lot of event inquiries coming in and have many events already booked for repeat business. Margins will be challenged with more full-time staff members that we've brought on and higher payroll costs, but we should be profitable, likely modestly so, at about $600,000. We still have some challenges that remain in the short term, particularly the membership side of our business, including the restaurant, has yet to fully return. We encourage you all to visit the reliable source, which is open 5 days a week, and to help us recruit more members. Cost of goods will still be an issue in 2024 as we continue to see inflation rates rise, and this is something that we're continuing to monitor closely. We're still struggling to hire in some positions, and the availability of qualified people is challenging, especially in the hospitality industry. So, has our business returned all the way? The short answer is not yet. In 2023, we're smaller by almost every measure than we were pre-COVID. But the trend is good, and in the last part of the year, we were consistently in the range of those pre-COVID numbers. That said, as I mentioned before, we're still a little bit behind from where we were in 2019, and we're looking to grow. In 2024, we should see some numbers in the most phases of this business resembling our earlier sort of pre-pandemic levels, but we still need that improvement in membership to help us get there. So please, if you know additional members or others, we are always looking. And with that, I am happy to take any questions.
We know, this big picture, we know we made, what, 11 or 12 million out of the Rockwell painting. Oh, okay, thank you. Okay, we know we made 11 or 12 million out of the Rockwell painting and divided proportionally some for the journalism.
We also got a couple of million from two rounds of PPP. How much was the total PPP, and did we have to pay any of it back, or has it been forgiven?
Didier might want to take some of this. I believe that most, if not all, of the PPP funds were converted to grants in last year's. That accounted in last year's budget.
And how much was it?
I don't know that I have that figure right in front of me.
We need to go to a
sale. Okay. Yeah. We will get back to you on that number. I don't have it in front of me.
Okay. That was smart organizing by the club to get that.
Indeed, it was. Club's total profit numbers are
1.4 million.
Well, there you go. Any other questions?
Budgeted was 445,000.
Are your slides going to be available behind, like, the firewall, the login member wall on the website?
We can email them too.
Sure.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yep. Yes?
Just out of curiosity, with the hospitality staff, you mentioned that have we asked everybody who was here before, I mean, obviously there were formal layoffs and everything, have they been contacted, and where does that stand? Have we hired back everybody, or have they found other jobs, or what does that look like?
Some of the people actually retired, some of the people have changed their field, yeah. And some of the people came back.
Okay.
So that's the thing, but it's very difficult to get very qualified. But wherever we could get people back, we did.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
It's the same question that was asked before, but a little bit differently. If you were to present the income excluding all non-recurring events, like a one-time sale of a piece of art is a non-recurring event. A one-time federal grant is a non-recurring event. So if you were to look at it on a continuing operating basis, excluding non-recurring events, how would the profits have changed?
Yeah, I'll let Didier take some of that.
The profit of the FNB is quite, it's good. It didn't change much because we didn't actually talk back any investment back in. So whatever profitabilities we have, it's only based mainly on the food and beverage. So event and the restaurant.
How would income have
about
changed?
If
you exclude the non-recurring.
I would think maybe only by 1.2%, not much more than this. Because we're doing, banqueting is a high profitability for us, definitely.
Anything else? No? All right, thank you.
Thank you, Mike. I'm pleased with our solid financial footing, particularly as we had a lot of repairs we had refinanced to rev up again after the pandemic. I wanted to thank our now retired Chief Financial Officer, Georgetta George, and our new CFO, Celia Parado, for the wonderful job they did this year to ensure our cash flow, financial, and tax planning, and all things related were all solid, secure, and transparent. Mike has been a wonderful treasurer, very vigilant about where our money is spent and how we follow best practices in our record keeping and cybersecurity. I want to thank you for all the extra efforts you made this year. You will be a fantastic vice president, and I hope we see more of your beautiful slides and charts again. Those were amazing, so thank you. And this is a good time to remind all of us that the reason these numbers are so strong are due to the impressive effort of our amazing staff, as well as the fact that many of the event sponsors are often our communicator members of the club. So a huge thank you to all members who spread the good word about the club's fantastic features, and in particular to our staff members who work so hard to make this possible, including our Director of Events, Michelle Light, our Director of Clubhouse Operations, Miguel Dominguez, our now retired Executive Director, Bill McCarron, and our new Executive Director, Didier Saji. Speaking of which, let's hear briefly from our Executive Director on his plans for this year. Didier.
Star of the podcast.
Very good. So very quickly, firstly, thank you very much for all your help in the last 6 months. Thank you, Eileen. Thank you to the board. It was an experience for me, and it was also a guidance on everything. So I'm still learning a lot of things, including what Bill's telling me as well. So firstly, I just would like to hope everyone who came actually for the Christmas party we had for the family enjoyed it, and we're going to do plenty more of this event in the future. And we're planning already on doing a New Year's party as well, so please keep this in your booking. Then hopefully that will show the club is back in business as a normal business. So for the first 12 months of this year, what we would like to propose, and this is especially for the reliable source, because I think the reliable source will give us a very good indication of how the business coming back after pandemic. So we did last year a nice Christmas buffet where we did over 120 people. So it shows people have interest and people want to come. The next one is in next week with the Chinese buffet for the celebration of the Year of the Dragon, and we will see how this is going to go. Then in March we're going to have St. Patrick's buffet, but also in February, don't forget, on the 14th of February it is Valentine's. So bring your loved one here to have a nice meal. In May, we're going to have a special dinner, Cinque de Mayo, so it's a bit of an Italian style of dinner. On June, we're going to have the seafood buffet. In July, we're going to have the summer barbecue buffet. August, back to the crab. And then October, we're going to have Oktoberfest. In November, book an otters and roast beef buffet dinners. And in December, we will go back to Christmas already. So the year will go very quickly. On the top of this, we will change our wine list. We're working on a nice wine list, on the dinners as well. We're going to have a nice menus. Tablecloths will be back on the evening. So really, it is the 14th floor is for members and bringing new members as well. The bar also, we're going to do a lot more promotion, whiskey, gins. We're going to have lots of different drinks as well. So for social part of your job and coming after a hard work day, I think is the place to be. So we need to make sure all members and future members know this. The new menu in reliable source, I will expect to start in the middle of February. So we will do a proper launch for this as well. And I think what everybody is waiting for is the breakfast. So when we will see how the business going at the end of these 2 weeks, we will decide, are we going to start in the middle of February or are we going to start the first week of March? But by the first week of March, the breakfast buffet will be there. The breakfast at the club will be back there. As it was before. However, we're going to have a second part for people who want to do a business breakfast or bring somebody. You can sit in the restaurant and order a hot breakfast, coffees, and everything else there. So that will be a bit of the difference of what it was before. Now we have different chefs as well working for us. So cooking classes will coming up during the year as well. We're going to do some nice cooking classes. They're going to be very limited because the space upstairs, so 4 or 5 people. Hopefully we can do this on a Saturday morning, so we will work on this. Also, my plan and things I have seen in the last 6 months is the working area for journalists to come here to work. So we're thinking how to do and change things. So hopefully in the next 6 months you will see some changes in for working area for journalists when they're coming here. So that will also be something a lot more interesting for new members to coming in. So maybe we're going to have a look at having a common area for people to work, but also looking at the booth upstairs, how to make them more efficient and more secure as well for people to do their work. The other things also, I think what we need to look at is the gym. Is lots of people do not know we have a gym. So as a young person coming here, I mean, you're paying just over $30 a month, and then where can you find a gym for this amount of money? And if you're coming for a free breakfast and a taco on a Friday night, I think you have the best deal in town. So my idea also for this is to restart having somebody maybe coming twice a week, a teachers or somebody who can actually guide people how to use the gym. So we will work on this, and hopefully that will promote the gym as well. Also, I think we need to really have a look as a club to start putting a social and media person here so we can reopen having a Facebook, having IG, having things. So we need to be up there and showing what we're doing, if it's professional or if it's FNB as well. So I think that's something we're going to work very actively to be there and promote the club and promote the brand. So we're also working on some more merchandise as well. So you will see new T-shirt, you will see water bottles, you will see other things. And something I'm really close to my heart is saving the planet in one way. So we're going to get rid of the plastic bottles. We're going to see soon some aluminium bottles coming in, and it's going to be some other things as well. Try to reduce our footprints, reduce our rubbish as well. We're going to have people coming collecting our food as well we don't use, and all these kind of things. So really try to make the club more green than what we have been, and advertising this as we're doing our part to save our planet as well. So that's for 2024, and of course is to bring more business to the club and be back financially in a better place as well.
Just a detail. Plastic is recycled in our community.
But it's not...
Is that not a true thing?
No, it's not. Even we did... just coming back from Hong Kong, where we did a big 3 days conference for all the clubs about actually being greeners. So the plastic can be reused only one, and is only 35% of the recycling plastic where it's used. But we don't have you fill it up every day. So it's assigned bottles. But plastic is not aluminium is the best way to have at the moment. So plastic is it's we can be very like.
Energy, so it's not as environmentally
but,
as friendly as people think it is.
But I think depend on how I look, because we look at lots of things as well. So just as an example as well, we were looking at fish. We say salmon is a sustainable fish, but it's not. When you provide to create 1 kilo of salmon, you need to create 2 kilo of food to give it to them. So it makes absolutely no sense. And on top of this, they're polluting the sea quite badly as well. So it's all about doing research, maybe get some institution working with us as well, if it's a WWF or if it's anything. So we have people actually on the back telling us what we should do or what the truth, or if this is okay or not okay. I think this is important.
And the reliable source hours are now...
Okay, at the moment, for the reliable source, we open on the morning and we're closing at 10 o'clock on the night, Monday to Friday. So we have lunch and dinners. We did not advertise until we get the new menu, but it's open. So the bar is open and everything is open as full now.
Ten
or past 10. It can be 11. If it's a Friday night, it's a full bar. We're not going to close at 10 o'clock.
Can someone put that in the wire?
Yes, we will. As soon as we get the new menus and the kitchen upstairs is fully operational, we will do a proper opening and put it in the wires.
Just speak loud enough.
Just a comment about the gym. In the last 2 years, I've had 4 interns, mainly during the summer, and they're all, you know, of that young age. That being the case, the club, as many know, has a, they have an intern membership, a temporary membership, which I've purchased for all of the interns. And the feedback I get on the quality of that gym is amazing. It seems to me that gym, if we're looking for younger people, is just a gem to promote. Because you can look at me and you say, I don't know. And usually I tell my interns, well, you go do a mile for me in the gym, I don't have time. But no, it's apparently a fantastic facility.
It's really an amazing place, and if you have never been, please go have a look, because it is good. So I think bringing somebody, a professional trainer, 2 days a week here, maybe from 7 to 9 a.m. on the morning, will actually promote and bring the gym back where it should be. So we got all this equipment. The club has spent lots of money to redo the gym, so it should be there to be used. So my first thing seeing this is you work, the work is done where you're just looking outside. So everybody's passing on the back, see your own work. So what I would like to do is, first thing is to turn the tables and having a look if we can make them as a closed booth as well. So people can be inside, you can answer the phone inside and not disturbing anybody.
Yeah, that's the issue I've usually run into, is I will be working very hard on something and I'll even have headphones and somebody will be on a conference call and two desks down. And it's sort of hard to manage that because I don't want to go tell people.
Yeah. That's not the, so I think this is the first thing, is to get a private space where you can do your own work and nobody's going to bother you or nobody's bothering you outside. I think this is important.
On that score, only the library now has computers. There used to be computers in the journalist working area. You want to put some of those back?
This is, I don't think this is the right thing, because you can have viruses, you can have everything. So most of the people just bring their laptop. We could have laptop provided if we need to, but I don't think I will put a computers there, because I have seen even at the FCC.
Do they have problems in the library with that? I haven't heard it.
But it's not as used as much as this will have been used upstairs. So if there's nothing else, I will be happy to see everybody on the 25th of January upstairs for the Chinese buffet. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Thanks, Didier. So I've enjoyed working closely with you this year and seeing lots of your great ideas for different aspects of the club come to fruition, including improving communications between our staff teams and renovating our reliable source kitchen menu and wine list. I'm looking forward to joining the rest of you here for our monthly special dinners, wine dinners, and the free breakfast coming soon. And apparently I have to check out the gym. So yes, I will do that. And speaking of the restaurant, I also wanted to thank all our staff in the Reliable Source and Bar, including Reliable Source Manager Mesfin and his new assistant manager, Mamoon, plus all the deliciousness crafted by our executive chef, Mo Aguilera, and his team. So it's going to take me a very long time to work off all that delicious food I ate here this year. So thank you. Okay. So this is my last president's report, which is very bittersweet. Before I get started, there were a couple more people I wanted to say thank you to. The first is our board, which has been absolutely fabulous this year. Truly dedicated to serving our members and our mission with lively but focused and respectful discussions. It's pretty rare you have a board that is this strong, so please stand up if you are on the 2023 board, and well, thank you. Thank you. I also wanted to thank my husband, Kerry O'Reilly, who also is a journalist and a long-term member here. He was a true rock and believer in what I was trying to do. This job needs a lot of energy and focus, and he was supported in all the great ways, including proudly telling everyone he was the first gentleman. Thank you, Carrie O'Reilly. To wrap up this year, as you know, I had four main things I hoped to accomplish. Two of them were focused on the staff and members, and two of them were focused on our mission, all of which kind of intertwines, obviously. The first goal was I really wanted to make sure a couple of major transitions that happened this year went smoothly. We had several important people who retired or left with very big shoes to fill. Among those were Bill McCarron, Georgetta George, and Julie Moose. A large part of my first 6 months was spent helping the club and the Institute secure and welcome the best people to replace them and continue building up both the club and the Institute to a stronger place. And I'm very happy with the results. As I mentioned earlier, the club is in very good hands with both Celia and Didier. And the National Press Club Journalism Institute has blossomed under Beth Francesco as its executive director. Beth has doubled their staff with some great talent, launched many new programs for professional development and training, increased readership and engagement with their newsletter and their donor audience, and has become just a wonderful partner with the club on its press freedom activities. So I'm very happy these transitions went well and excited at where we're going in the future. My second goal was to get members back into the club in person. We're still recovering from the impact of the pandemic, and I felt this needed to be a big priority, not just for our revenues, but also our community. Cecily, Kate, and Alana worked hard on helping me do this, so thank you very much. Everyone here was a big part of that happening. And this was a fun part, and one where I got to work with our 16-member teams. I can't emphasize enough how important those teams are. We had a thrilling number, 82 member events this year. They range from serious ones focused on the deaths of journalist Devin Lyons, Jeff German, and Shireen Abu-Akla, and of our past president, Mike Friedman, to more lighthearted events like the Dana Tyson Burgess Dance and Book Extravaganza, our Cocktails and Conversations events, networking mixers, including with the AAJA, and our Bubbly with the Board receptions. We held 27 headliners, including Maria Ressa, General Milley, Governor Wes Moore, Ashley Judd, and Ron Nicewander. It was amazing watching our headliner co-chairs, Donna Laiwan Leger and Lori Russo, and their team work on those. Those take a lot of work behind the scenes, and I'm so grateful to them. We had fascinating book talks with many, including Laura Meckler, Tom Risen, Harry Dunn, Women Who Lead, including our 114th president, Lisa Matthews, and many others. We had loads of eye-opening documentaries from PBS, Frontline, ABC News, the AP, and some independent filmmakers showing us long-term investigations on happenings in Afghanistan, Mariupol, India, Florida, and others. We also enjoyed many of our old traditions, some of which finally returned after the pandemic, including Legends Dinners, The Hoot, The Holiday Party, The Pancake Breakfast, St. Patrick's Day Celebration, Crap Fest, The Politicians versus Press Spelling Bee, Fourth Estate Awards, and NPC Journalism Awards. And let's not forget the important stuff, the return of the popcorn machine, free coffee in the afternoons, and wine dinners. Plus the naming of our very own beer, exclusive to the National Press Club, The First Draft. Make sure you try it, it's very good. All those were truly fun, and the headliners in particular are main news. Besides those two goals, I had two mission-focused goals, and I'm happy to say I feel the club really expanded its reach on this year, which are press freedom and news deserts. I'm very happy we were able to host three different panels on news deserts, which I hope helped broaden the discussion on how different entities are tackling news deserts, which I define as both regional areas that lost their traditional newspapers and communities that remain underserved by most media. I feel honored so many people traveled here to talk about this problem facing our industry and our democracy. And speaking of democracy, my fourth goal was to really ramp up the serious work we were already doing on press freedom. We expanded Press Freedom Day to Press Freedom Week. Thanks, Rachel. We hosted 13 events focused on press freedom, including the 24-hour readathon for Evan Gershkovich, the Wall Street Journal reporter arrested while doing his job in Russia. We also held press briefings with Evan's family, the Austin Tice 5K, the news conferences on the James Foley Foundation efforts, and on Alsu Kermasheva's unjust detention in Russia. We issued more than 80 press freedom statements this year as well. While I'm glad we were able to really ramp up our press freedom efforts this year, there is still so much to do. Austin, Evan, and Alsu remain locked up. There's an unprecedented number of journalists being killed in the Israel-Hamas war, and press freedom rights are under threat in many places, including in the U.S. We must remain vigilant and advocate for our rights, and under Emily's leadership, we will. So to wrap it all up, we've had a bit of something for everyone. No matter if you're a journalist or communicator, if you're a boomer or Gen Z, if you're a writer, editor, photographer, or influencer, or if you just want a place to work out and have a beer, the National Press Club is for you. I believe in all of you. I believe in our mission. And I believe in our club's past, present, and even more importantly, in our future. And thank all of you for believing in me. Sorry. Sorry. Sorry, I still don't have a poker face, so you'd think I'd learn by now. And I will not say I believe our next administration will do well, because I know the next administration will do well. The board remains super strong, and Emily Wilkins is just the right person to lead them. I've known and worked with Emily for many years now. She's super smart, focused, energetic, and has a ton of great ideas that will engage our membership in so many wonderful ways. I'm looking forward to what happens this year. And now I'd like to officially pass the gavel to your newly elected leader, CNBC's DC correspondent, and the 117th president of the National Press Club, the amazing Emily Wilkins.
Congratulations. All right. Eileen, thank you so much. I mean, really, I do just want to start by taking a minute. I know that Eileen kind of just recapped her presidency, but there are a couple things that she left out. First of all, she's just a naturally great leader. She has this perfect balance of grace, of collaboration, but also knows when to be strong and decisive and when to kind of be like, all right, reality check, got to do this thing now. Eileen's done so many great things, and a lot of them I hope to continue. One thing she started this year was a diversity task force. That's something that I plan to continue. It's a hugely, hugely important for the club. Another thing she did was really streamline some of our press freedom efforts. We obviously have a lot of folks focused on press freedom. We got the press freedom team. We have the Institute. She brought that all together, really made it productive. And of course, I think the other thing that Eileen did that I just really respect was the Axios Smart Brevity. And I promise to try to maintain that as much as humanly possible. But before I finish that, Eileen, I did have a little thank you for everything you've done this year. First of all, thank you, Kate.
First of all, since you are from Ohio, aww,
Buckeyes. Thank you.
Aww. And then this is also for you. You can open it now or you can open it later over drinks.
Okay.
Up to you. Open it now. All right. Okay. Sweet. Oh, drum roll. Oh,
now I have the power still.
Wow. We did have one final present. I know the club is always cool because apparently we have our own zip code, but apparently this may or may not have created difficulties in delivering your final gift. But we have a picture of it, I think. Maybe?
Nixed it.
On the no, we nixed it. Oh, I nixed it. Hey, look at that. It's a photo of Helen Thomas and then a signed note from her, just in recognition of how great of a leader you are, how powerful you are. I feel like for both women leaders and I think particularly for the club and the club's history, it means a lot. So no, thank you so much, Eileen. And again, I know that they already had y'all stand up, so I won't do it again. But I'm super excited for the team that we have this year, for Mike as vice president, for Poonam as secretary, for Elisa as treasurer, and for Mark
as our membership secretary, as well as the fantastic folks that we have on the board. I'm excited for all the great ideas that DDA has. I'm excited to work with our absolutely fantastic staff. And I just also wanted to take a moment and just say thank you to all of you who voted me, who have supported me, who have spent the last, 7 years I've been at the club teaching me things, helping me grow as a reporter and a person, for forging friendships. This club really does mean a lot to me. And it is just an immense, immense honor to lead it. Yeah, I'm going to be a crier too. We're not. That's just going to continue right along. All right. The next thing I'm supposed to be doing here is going over some of the goals for my year. And I guess I'll just start off by saying the first time I came to the club, I was an intern. It was so cool. I never, ever thought that I'd be a club member because I didn't think I'd be cool enough. And I remember when I came back to DC as a reporter, one of my dear friends and mentors, Derek Walbank, some of you know him, he is like, hey, when are you gonna join the club? You've been in the city for a couple months, you need to do it. And I'm like, I don't know, Derek, like rent's really expensive here. Beers are really expensive here. I need to prioritize. And he's like, look, what journalism is this true in 2015? It's true now. What journalism's going through right now is this huge time of upheaval. Financially, in terms of how people read us, in terms of what they consume, this whole post-fact ridiculousness that's going on, in terms of press freedom, in terms of democracy. This is a really turbulent time for our profession, which means that it's more important than ever that we're banding together at places like the press club, that we're coming together to support press freedom, that we're coming together to support each other, our growth, our professional development. And I think that to me just kind of emphasizes the core of why the National Press Club is so important. We are stronger when we're together, we're better when we're together, and I think that's really true of what everyone brings to the club as an individual and then ourselves as a collective. And so that's one thing I really do want to focus on this year. Going to the press freedom piece, I've got sort of three big things that I want to accomplish in the next year. And the press freedom thing, I'm going to talk about it more in a minute, but we do want to continue a lot of the work that we've done with Austin, with Evan, with Oslo, basically any reporter who is being unjustly held. We want to continue to be an advocate and a voice for them. We're also beginning to work with exiled journalists. Rachel is leading this, and I think it's fantastic. Journalists who can no longer report in their home countries, who are in the U.S. and who are looking for ways to continue doing journalism and continue doing their important reporting. And I think really what folks like that need, they need a community. They need a space. They need resources. They need all the things that the club already has. And I think this is a place where you can be a huge value add. And of course, in addition to that, I think we've already seen some very concerning statements in regards to 2024, to politics, to how certain politicians view the press and view the media. And we as the club want to make sure that we are ready not only to stand up to those, that kind of rhetoric, but to be a resource to any reporter, to any newsroom who needs it, to make sure that they know that our community of 3,000 journalists and communicators is ready to have their back. The other things that I want to do, we talked a little bit about the pandemic. Our members, I mean, the number of members who stayed on for the pandemic when they didn't have the in-person events, couldn't come grab a beer, but they stayed and they supported us. Our members have given so much to the club. I want to make sure that we're giving back to our members. And I have to say, I'm surprised at the number of times I have conversations with folks about cool events that have gone on, you know, whiskey tastings, just really cool guests coming to the club, the awards that we do. And I'll hear people be like, oh, how come I didn't know about that? And obviously, we do a fantastic job. Where's Mark? We do a fantastic job with The Wire. And that already goes a long way. But I think we can do more in terms of letting members know what their benefits are, letting members know how to get involved, getting folks involved with teams, and really making sure that people are able to take full advantage of the club. That they're able, I think, to build off, again, what Eileen has done, to not just get them in the door, but also help them, once they're in the door, really be able to navigate the club and all that we have to offer, because we have so much, so many great things, so many value adds. And the other final big thing that I want to make sure that we're doing this year is to really sort of be tapping into that larger journalism and communicator community, both in DC and nationally. I mean, the Press Club has so much to offer. And I want to make sure that we are in a smart,
and thoughtful way, partnering with other journalism groups, partnering with other communicator groups, finding ways that we can all, again, be stronger together. Yeah, it would be great if a lot of those folks did become members, because we certainly want membership to go up. But for me, I think this is even a little bit bigger than that. This is about the profession of journalism going forward, and this is about all of us being able to be stronger together. I have had the good fortune of, before becoming president, every 5 years we have a strategic plan, and it just so happens that this past year was the year we needed to put a strategic plan together. So I got the luxury of spending most of the last year thinking about what that strategic plan was going to be and working with a really great group of folks. What I'm going to do real quick, I'm going to present the strategic plan, and then we'll take any questions on the strategic plan. I'm going to ask for a vote of approval for the strategic plan. We don't have quorum, so it can't be like a vote, but I appreciate y'all, and we want to make sure that we've got the general thumbs up from membership. And then after that, if there are any other questions, we'll do that. So moving on to the strategic plan. So I'll tell you real quickly about the process. We had a team of 10 individuals who really kind of were the core of putting this together. They included Didier, they included Eileen, they included Mike, they included Poonam, Mark, they included Kate Helster, they included Miguel Dominguez, Bill McCarron, Mike Smith, one of our great communicator members on the board. I've forgotten someone. But it was a really great group. We did a lot of brainstorming. We also made sure that we were reaching out to members. And if you filled out that survey back in November, thank you so much, because that really informed this final report and what we decided on as our main goals and priorities. In addition to the surveys, some of you might have been a part of this. We did focus groups. So we made sure that beyond just sort of the core of staffers and executive directors and board members and communicators and journalists, we were also hearing from individuals. And so that really kind of helped us inform what we were going to be doing. We came up with 8 broad overall goals, and you can see a bit more of a breakdown. I think all of you should have gotten the strategic planning document. They are recruiting new members, updating membership categories, improving communication, and that's both among club members as well as the club communicating with outside members about what we offer and what events we have and what benefits we have. Professional development, making sure that folks, especially in this time where we're seeing so many layoffs, that they can come to the club, use the club as a resource, and that they're ready for whatever might happen in the course of their career. Security, this is huge. Both physical security at the club as well as cyber. I think we've all seen the news reports about cyber attacks going up. We want to make sure at the club that we are being diligent, aware, staying on top of it. The club space and events, being cognizant of how our space looks, how it's used, how we can improve. Press freedom, absolutely, as well as finances, because we got to do the finances, guys. That's key. And I did want to go into I'll just leave that up there for a second. I did want to go into 2 of our more specific goals, because I think they're ones that you're going to be hearing more of and potentially that you're going to be involved in bringing forward. So one of those is our Center for Press Freedom. And I mentioned I'd be speaking a little bit more about press freedom, and this is it. Those 3 goals that I laid out, the helping journalists who have been unjustly detained, working with exiled reporters, and making sure that domestic reporters, that they have the safety and the support that they need. We want to sort of solidify how we do those. Right now, the club, some of that does that. We have the Institute helping out with a bit of that. We want to have kind of one common touch point, one place. We're still working out a lot of the details here, and we'll be coming back with more information on that. But at this point, this is something that's a part of the strategic plan, something we're looking into. We hope that it can sort of help out with fundraising, that it can help with attention that we draw to these cases. And I'll also say, and I think this is just so critical, that as we look at this new thing and this structure, we have basically 2 goals for it. Number one, that it fulfills those 3 things I just laid out. And number 2, that at the same time that we have this new center coming online, it's not only benefiting the club, but also the Institute. It is so, so critical for this process that we are working with the Journalism Institute. They have been fantastic allies. We want to make sure that that relationship continues as we start looking at the options for this new center. The other thing that I'll just highlight here is that we have
begun thinking about what our membership categories look like. Journalism has evolved and changed so much in the last several years. Of course, the process of changing the membership categories is a little involved. We can't just be like, okay, cool, we voted it for the board and now it's done. It would be a membership-wide initiative. And so for that, the plan is to start with a task force of a small group to look into it. But I wanted to let you guys know this particular goal because it might be something that comes back in front of membership. And the idea with this is that, you know, the press club serves the journalism and communicator communities. And we want to be diligent about making sure that the folks who are in that community are allowed at the club. So these are things like press freedom advocates. Maybe they're not necessarily a journalist or a communicator, but they certainly work within the world of journalism. Or say the families of some of our detained journalists. I think those are people who we already see a part of our club committee, a club community rather. There's no reason that they shouldn't be able to have a membership ID as well. So those are sort of the two, I think, things I wanted to highlight, but I believe you all have the plan. And if anyone has questions on the strategic plan, I'm happy to take them now. Yes.
I haven't seen it. Is it possible?
Did you get the email?
It's been sent via email, and it also is on a QR code right outside the room. Yeah. So you can scan it and go through the whole thing.
Perfect. Yes.
I did read it.
Thank you.
You circulated earlier today, and I had two questions. One is on the sort of philosophical side, and the other is on the practical, institutional side. On the philosophical side, you already referenced the fact that the field of journalism has changed dramatically in the last 20 years, and even probably more so in the last 10 years. Is the club or the institute involved in an effort to update the definition of who is a journalist? Mm-hmm. Because I see all over the world people claiming to be journalists and others disputing you're not a journalist, and I'm a journalist and I'm entitled to protection, you're not a journalist, you're not. So I think substantively it's an important task, and the club is a perfect place to address it. The institutional question is, the large part of the strategic plan was a surprise to me, devoted to security. I didn't realize there was a security issue, but there was like 10, and a lot of it was physical security inside the building, and a lot of it was cybersecurity. But why is security such an important part of the plan? So philosophical and institutional.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll start with the philosophical one. And I guess I'll start by saying that you're correct. There is a lot of good discussion that goes on. I don't know how many of you have had a chance to be a part of our membership committee. Poonam can probably attest to this, as well as Mike. But there are a lot of really fascinating conversations that go on as to whether someone who has applied for press club membership is a journalist, is a communicator. It's like we always get to spend like an hour like discussing that philosophical question. And I'll say that we've got great folks on that committee who just do an immense amount of work for the club. And I'll then say that, you know, after they go through that process, which is in-depth, you review the candidates before the meeting even starts, you debate them during the meeting, and then it goes to the board. And I'll say there are plenty of times where the board gets the list of membership, and then we have a bunch of tough questions. What about this person? What about this person? What about this thing? So I want to give you the confidence that that discussions and that review is very active, is continually going on. I just think that to a certain extent, when it comes to there's a spirit of the law and the letter of the law. And right now, I think the spirit of the law and the letter of the law are a little further apart than we'd like them to be. And we would like the actual letter of the law to reflect more of the spirit, which is that we really want to serve the journalism community. And we need to be cognizant as to what that looks like at this point. The security question, and I don't want to put Mike on the spot, but he is the brains behind that section. So Mike, I'll go. And if there's something you want to add, jump in 100%. I mean, what I'll say is that, I mean, number one, for cybersecurity, again, I think we've seen numerous, I mean, heck, for the federal government, we've seen things where it's like this person got hacked, this thing got broken into. It's just a matter of this is the environment that we live in, and we need to be diligent about it. And I will also say that the number of goals listed in a particular topic, I wouldn't I wouldn't say it's like, oh, well, security has, I think it's 10 goals and, you know, membership categories has 3. So therefore, security should be more important. I wouldn't say it's like that. It's just kind of which ones made sense. Some goals are obviously bigger lifts than others. And I'd also just say for club physical security, it's just, again, it's something that we have to be cognizant about. Our members need to be safe. We hear about so many horrific incidents happening. We want to be diligent. We want to be thoughtful. We want to create a community where not only are, well, where our members feel safe primarily, and secondarily, where we can have those big names come to the club and tell them, hey, I know that you need these security parameters. We've got that set. Mike, did I do a good job? Anything you want to add?
I'll just add one more thing, which is some of those goals are things that we do in practice, but thanks, Cecily. Some of those goals are things that we do in practice, but just need to shore up on the policy side of it. So ensuring that our staff is trained in first aid and AED and stop the bleed training just helps us sort of like put all of that to paper and in checking those boxes.
Thank you. No, and I think there are, if you read it, there are a couple goals in there where there are things like making sure that people can pay with their credit card when they come to the bar. So it's things that it's not necessarily we're going to need the whole club to get together and do. You know, DDA might do a couple of them, small groups might do others, which is why, of course, I wanted to highlight the center and the membership categories, because those are, I think, going to be some of the bigger lifts. Any other questions on the strategic plan? Yes. You know what, I think I'm going to let DDA take that one because he has been immensely involved in this capacity.
So coming from Hong Kong, first things is was a big thing we looked at the Hong Kong site as well. And I think with cybersecurity, we want to make sure nobody can attack. I mean, you will see, we know we're getting attacked every day. So we want to make sure what we have here is able to stop all this attack, but also we want to make sure in all this cybersecurity, we have penetration tests, we have people coming and tried as well. We have recruited people who can actually, who are working for us as staff members as well here, so who are specialized in this kind of things as well. So I think you want to make sure your identity is safe in the club as well. There's lots of information we have in the last years, 2 years, 10 years, 20 years here in the club. We don't want them to start getting in of these kind of things. So we do tests to find out if we are vulnerable in some place. But I think in the last year, the club have moved quite a lot in the cybersecurity as well. We have a staff there, and then some firm. We'll get firm to come in and do penetration tests and these kind of things to make sure we're doing the right things.
Any other questions on the strategic plan? Yes.
Hi. So I would like to just ask in the membership categories. Many years ago, and actually having worked on many strategic plans throughout the years here at the Press Club, there used to be an associate membership. And that membership category was for members such as myself who started off my first career as a journalist. And that membership category was for anyone who had worked in journalism for more than 5 years. And so several years ago, that category was taken away. And so I'm wondering if in this strategic plan, if you are going to start to talk about additional membership categories, would you consider creating a similar category like we had in the past that recognizes members of the National Press Club who are former journalists? Because I'm not a communicator.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that's a really good question. I think that's also why the plan lays out a process where you begin with a task force that begins to bat around a lot of ideas. I think that one is worth discussing and then kind of firms up. You know, I would be curious, and forgive me, I don't think I've ever been active in the membership during while we had an associate, but just sort of, you know, what the thinking was, why it was there, why it went away, what worked, what didn't. I don't know if there's anyone who remembers that or can speak to that. I think it might have been a couple more years than
than folks have. But I will also just kind of point back to the reason that if you read the strategic plan, you're going to see a lot of task forces. And I know that, like, the joke in DC is that, like, task forces are where things go to die. They're not dying. I won't let them die. I will, you know, I'm not going to say mouth to mouth. That's weird. But I will. They're all going to live. They're going to do great things. And this is why we're having them. But no, and I appreciate you bringing that up. I appreciate that idea. I will make sure that that at least is a part of the discussion. And I would almost encourage, you know, if you see something where it's like, hey, it looks like there's going to be a discussion about XYZ. We have an idea. This is kind of what the strategic plan is. It's the overall roadmap. And then throughout the next 5 years, we will be filling that roadmap in with those details. So I appreciate you mentioning that. I don't want to commit one way or the other, but I think it's worth looking into.
Thank you.
Any other questions on the strategic plan? All right, great. Then before we move on to general questions, again, unfortunately, we do not have a quorum. We need 75 journalists. We are short of that today. Also, thank you, everyone, for coming to a meeting that did not have lunch and was also in a snowstorm. I just really, really, really appreciate it. I do. We had like a minute today where we're like, are we going to have to cancel because no one's going to come? This is a great turnout. Thank you. Thank you for taking time on a Friday evening. Seriously. All right, and now that I've said a lot of nice things, so I do want to see if we can have a motion to, again, this won't be an official vote, but our membership is so important, and we want to make sure that we have a sense of them before moving on. So can I get a motion to approve the strategic plan and approve and adopt this five-year strategic plan? Puna?
I'd like to make a motion to approve and adopt this five-year strategic plan.
Thank you. Second? Carrie? I think I got to pick someone for the minutes. All right. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say nay. And anyone who wants to be marked as abstain, I guess. All right, cool. We have one abstention. That's all right. We appreciate transparency. Thank you. All right, but I think with that, we can safely say that the sense of membership is that we are good going forward with this five-year strategic plan. And again, encourage you to read the plan if there's something where you're like, hey, y'all should be thinking about this in the next 5 years. I think you all know what my email address is. It's thepressone@npc.org. Yes? No? Maybe? I don't have it yet. President. President. What did I say?
President@press.org.
Cool. Fantastic. So with that, thank you all very much. And again, thank you to everyone who worked on the strategic plan. There were a lot of meetings, a lot of brainstorming, a lot of writing. We deeply appreciate everyone's assistance on that. And now I will open it up to any general questions that y'all might have for me. Everyone just wants to get to the bar, huh? I respect that. I do. Yes? Was that a question?
Question. So for the headliners lunches, are you planning to bring back the opportunity to meet the headliner before that used to be a thing before COVID?
That's a good question.
Yeah, the VIP reception.
Yeah.
Yeah, for press club members. Yeah.
I thought we did have the VIP receptions before headliners. Yes?
Hi. So currently, as it stands, we have head table receptions. This was something that we started doing just to keep the room intimate. There hasn't been discussion about bringing back the full membership receptions yet, but it's certainly something interesting worth discussing.
Yeah.
As a staff member, I don't really have input as much as I can just tell you what's been going on so far, which is the receptions happen. And if you have any particular interest in a specific speaker, feel free to reach out at members@press.org, and we'll see if there's availability in the room to join. Rachel?
Yeah, just on a different matter.
Oh. So Book and Author Night was formally organized by the Journalism Institute, and while they're no longer doing it, I wondered if the club is going to take that up, and or if not that exactly, some other type of event.
And this is the big book fair we had with a lot of authors. I have to say, we do have a lot of questions about this event. I know that it was much beloved. I will also see if, is that something staff can answer? Because I have not been directly involved in those decisions, and you guys might have more of the background.
Yeah, or Beth. I know someone.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Hi, everybody. Beth Francesco from the Journalism Institute. Thank you all for being here tonight. We do get a lot of questions about the book fair. And as you know, our last one was held in 2019. And then a lot of things happened. We haven't brought it back. There was an understanding or a perception that the book fair was a fundraiser for the Institute, when in fact we went back and looked at the data, it was not raising funds for the Institute. In fact, it lost money for producing the event. And so we have no plans to bring it back at this point, but we have been in discussion about how to bring back an event similar to it so that would be financially beneficial to both the club and to the Institute.
Thank you so much, Beth. Yes.
Atul Singh, I'm the founder of Fair Observer, which is in the World News Space. A question for you, would you be interested in, because I have lots of authors from around the world, in, say, ambassadors or other foreigners traipsing through town to come into an event, take Q&As about their parts of the world?
Well, I think for the club, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, we do definitely already have that with our headliners program. I know I've had the wonderful opportunity to interview ambassadors. I believe Aline did a number of those events as well. So we definitely do have that. If there's someone specific that you have in mind, I think you can contact the headliners committee or Cecily or membership. What would be the best contact information if you've got the in with a cool person coming in?
So if you have a suggestion for a headliner event, there is a full suggest a headliner form on our website where it kind of lays out the criteria of things that the headliners team will consider. So particularly newsworthiness at that specific point of time, if the person wants to make an announcement, something like that. But really, we take as many recommendations as you can give. So if you know anyone coming into town, I encourage you to fill out the suggest headliner. And if it is an emergency, you can also email members@press.org, and we will get back to you.
And I'd say that applies for anyone who has someone cool or newsworthy. Any other questions? Yes.
I'm sorry to speak twice, but there was a time earlier when Julie Hsu and the Book and Author Committee, which I think I may have been the first chair of the Book and Author Committee many years ago, there was a time when the Book and Author Committee generated revenue for the Institute. And I remember this because there was a challenge there with the club as well as the Institute as to where the revenue would, what line it would go within the club or within the building. And so there was a time when the Book and Author Committee did generate revenue by bringing in some of the most high profile authors in the world. I mean, J.K. Rowling, Henry Kissinger, Sir Richard, and revenue was generated for the Institute through the Book and Author Committee.
That's, I mean, again, I very much appreciate that perspective. I mean, I know that we did fold some of the Book and Author Committee into headliners, and I think Kate has a little bit of context she wants to share.
Yeah, I think what you're talking about is the book events, the headliner book events. That was what was a separate committee that was Book and Author. What we were just talking about was the book fair not being financially advantageous for either organization. The Book and Authors Committee was folded into headliners, and they still produce book and author events. Since that is on the club side now, it's not an Institute event per se, so the money isn't going to the Institute. I would say those events right now are modest in what they bring in. We try to keep the cost low for members to go to them. We try to make sure when we sell books, we're selling them for what the book costs, you know. So we're trying an approach to make them more affordable for members to actually be present in the room as opposed to making it a huge revenue generator.
Just thought I'd offer some texture.
It's appreciated. Thank you. All right. Any other questions? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So,
can you repeat that question?
Yeah, it was just a question, and I think this is actually a great question, about, she was asking about joining the Young Members Committee, that, you know, you've sent an email that you haven't heard back from a couple weeks. So I will say that we are, because of how the club works, you know, I just got in as president, which means that everyone on the board just kind of, if you were the board elect, you're now on the board. And so I've asked a number of folks to lead teams. Some of them are in this room. We have such a great group next year. I'm very excited for it. But a lot of them are just now, they couldn't really officially start until, like, how long have I been talking? Like 15 minutes ago. So what I will say is that you should be hearing from them. And let's link up later, and I'll make sure that you are on the right email list. I will also say that if you're a young member, you have the benefit of automatically being connected to the young members' email list. So if you haven't heard from them, it's not because they're ignoring you. It is because we're going through the transition right now. And I will say that for all teams. I'm really hoping that, you know, folks are taking a look at our teams, seeing where they can join, seeing where they contribute. I think most people who come to this meeting already are very involved, and that is much appreciated. But that's certainly, I think, one of the things where if you haven't heard too many emails lately, that's probably why. All right, any other questions? All right, I don't see anyone. Going once, going twice. All right.
Motion to adjourn.
Second?
Second.
Great. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, and with that, guys, we're looking forward to a great 2024. Thank you all for being part of the club.